Welcome to the Issue Is podcast on a historic week in politics. The first time ever a president of the United States is facing indictment. And it is something we will talk about in a moment with the co-host of one of my favorite podcasts, Hacks on Tap. Mike Murphy is with us in studio. But we begin this week with Ro Khanna, the Democratic congressman from Silicon Valley. We initially booked him to talk about his endorsement of Barbara Lee. And of course, we talk about that. But we also wanted to talk about Trump and what's happening in Silicon Valley with the bank situation and to get to know him a little bit better. He's not running for the Senate, even though there was some speculation that he might. Maybe one day he'll run for president. He is backing Barbara Lee. So let's begin with Congressman Ro Khanna. Welcome to The Issue Is for the first time.
Thank you. It's an honor to be on.
All right. So we'll talk about Trump in a moment because it's kind of unavoidable. But first, why aren't you running for the Senate? And why are you backing Barbara Lee?
Felix, I think the most exciting place right now to serve for a bold progressive is in the House of Representatives. We have so many young members like Maxwell Frost, like Jonathan Jackson. It's where I can have an impact, and I represent Silicon Valley, a very important constituency. I'm backing Barbara Lee for two reasons. She's the most important voice, anti-war voice, in the entire Congress. She stood up against giving George W. Bush a blank check to Afghanistan and Iraq. Second, she has the most support from Bernie progressives around the state, and I was a co-chair for Bernie's campaign.
You know, Barbara Lee is significantly behind right now in fundraising, in the polls, in name ID. You have said that Adam Schiff is the favorite right now. Why do you feel that way, and how does Barbara Lee win this race?
Adam Schiff has $20 million in his bank, and obviously he's a presence on TV, a formidable candidate. But I think Barbara Lee will be the only candidate from Northern California. That gives her a big advantage. I think progressives are coalescing around her. I expect her to have a big border that we'll see just in a few days. I don't want to preempt that announcement, and that's going to give her a great chance.
Now to the history that we've all lived through together this week. What do you make of the indictment of former President Donald Trump?
Felix, I wish members of Congress and senators would stop commenting on it. You have a law enforcement official who's brought an indictment. That should play out the way it's supposed to play out. And it's not for politicians to comment on it.
Are you concerned, though, that this is the wrong case at the wrong time and it might strengthen the president politically?
You know, I really don't think politics should be part of this. I have confidence in our judicial system, in our jury system. If the prosecutor has a strong case, he'll succeed. If he doesn't, then he won't succeed. And that's for the jury to decide and law enforcement to decide. But I have faith in the process.
You are the congressman representing Silicon Valley. Another one of the big stories of the last few weeks is the collapse of Silicon Valley Bank. What steps do you think could be done at a congressional level to prevent something like that from happening again?
Felix, one, money moves at the speed of Twitter. We need to be much faster in responding. I've been working with several Republican senators to say that we need to have a mandatory fee for accounts over $250,000 so that they have insurance and that can step in to protect depositors. Right now, a lot of these large accounts are like uninsured motor vehicle drivers. When they crash, the FDIC is stuck with the bill. We need to have mandatory insurance for them. And then the FDIC can get in to protect depositors quickly.
We play a game on this show called Personal Issues, which is 30 seconds of rapid-fire questions to sort of get to know you better. So this is the first thing that comes to mind, and we'll have a little bit of fun here. All right, ready? Here we go.
Great.
What is your favorite TV show?
Well, it's an older one. It's Friends, but that probably dates me.
What is your favorite band or musical artist?
Bruce Springsteen.
What's your favorite book of all time?
I love Moby Dick.
Who is your favorite Republican?
These days it's Mike Gallagher. He's the chair of the China Committee and we work together.
What's your favorite quote or personal motto?
Be the change you wish to see by Mahatma Gandhi. My grandfather spent 4 years in jail with him in the 1940s.
One thing that you're known for is this ability to sort of talk to people on the other side. You go on Fox News Channel all the time. You're actually friends with Republicans. There are not a lot of people that do that these days. What is the secret there? And what do you think everybody can learn from that?
I just think we need more civility, more dialogue in this country, in a sense that no one has a monopoly on the truth. Now, it doesn't make for viral social media clips. It doesn't make for big fundraising pleas. But ultimately, the country, in my view, needs more of that. It's a bit boring, but that's how we built America.
We want to end on something fun. I don't know if you saw this story this week. Wallet Hub put together a list of the happiest cities in America. And you know what city was number one in the whole country?
It's not Fremont, California, is it, where I live?
It is Fremont. Your hometown was the happiest city in the country. Do you agree with that? And what do you make of that?
Well, I know that that was the case because the mayor has been touting that for the longest time. Look, it's a great place to raise a family. It's safe. We care about public safety. We have good schools. We have a lot of religious institutions. It's diverse. I take a lot of pride in living in Fremont. So come check it out. And you also have great masala chai, best masala chai in the whole country in Fremont, California.
Our thanks to Rokana. Now to our conversation with Mike Murphy. But let's begin with some clips from the kind of over-the-top reactions to the Trump indictment this week.
The unprecedented indictment of a former president of the United States on a campaign finance issue is an outrage.
This is probably the most egregious thing I've ever seen in the history of our republic.
I'm not going to stand for it. As a civil rights attorney, I am donating my time to President Trump.
Donald Trump is responsible for his own conduct. If he was having an affair with a porn star and writing hush money payments and fabricating business records, he should be held accountable like anybody else.
Strong reactions to the indictment of former President Trump. On Tuesday, he's expected to be formally arraigned. Joining us now to break it down is one of our all-time favorite guests. Mike Murphy is a longtime GOP strategist. He's worked for everybody, candidates like John McCain, Mitt Romney, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Mm-hmm. He's been a strategist for Republican voters against Trump, quite a week for them. He is the host of the Hacks on Tap podcast with David Axelrod and Robert Gibbs, and he partners with Democrat Bob Schrum to run the USC Center for the Political Future. Mike, welcome back to The Issue. It's great to have you back in our house.
It is great to be here.
All right.
Lots to talk
about. Week,
huh?
What a week to have you here.
Incredible.
All right, so the indictment of Donald Trump, you've obviously been going at it with him for a long time. What do you make of this indictment? Are you worried that maybe this is the wrong indictment?
Well, you know, I think it's a tricky one because in the big picture, twice impeached, now indicted. You know, I mean, the Trump Museum is going to have to be next to a prison somewhere at the end of all this. But politically speaking, and I'm a conservative Republican, but longtime anti-Trumper, there's a huge thing coming in Georgia, where he basically tried to force the election. There's a huge deal coming on January 6th, special prosecutor. This one is the weakest one. That doesn't mean it's bad, ought to have the day in court, let the process work. But politically, it's the easiest to criticize because it is, compared to the other two things, this is like running a red light on the way to the bank robbery you're going to lead. And because it is an elected Democratic official making the move, not the feds, from a liberal city, it gives Republicans who are looking for a way to kind of, hide from Trump's primary voters something to talk about. Go ahead.
And it's an elected Democratic official who ran on the concept of basically locking up Donald Trump, which doesn't help either, right?
You know, we always in politics have to think about what the street talk is, not the sophisticates. And the street talk among Republican primary voters is, wait a minute, when Bill Clinton had a sex scandal, nobody put him in handcuffs and indicted him. But, when Trump does it, as much as we may want to move on from Trump, the liberal DA of New York can hardly wait to lock him up. It's politics.
You know, Trump's been able to spin this very effectively over the years that they're not after me, they're after you. I'm the vessel for you.
Our movement.
Right?
That's who they want to get.
And all of the Republicans who are running against him had to come to his defense this week. What do you make of the way this impacts the 2024 race and the way you maybe would advise somebody running against him to handle this?
It's been funny watching them all wiggle about it, varying degrees of wiggle, because privately, of course, they're all like, how do we get rid of this guy? But they're afraid of his voters. Now, before this happened, Trump was in a pretty strong decline. More than half the party wants to move on to somebody else. He was down to about a third of the primary vote. This has given him a big vitamin shot, because it's easy to say they're attacking us, all the routine he does. So what they're trying to do, the people surviving in the primary at the early stages, we shouldn't overanalyze it. They're trying to say, oh, this is horribly political. I mean, the funniest one was DeSantis, who did the old, I don't know anything about paying off porn stars. I spent a lot of time in church myself, so you have to ask him. I don't swim in those gutters. But one thing I hate even more, Democrat, liberal, George Soros, left-handed prosecutor, you know.
Right.
They're all trying to skedaddle their way through it. But the thing to watch is not this week. It is when this stuff keeps building that Trump fatigue in the party is big. And what I would advise somebody to say is, it's, Trump did great things, time to take some of his issues, but it's time to move on because I'm tired of losing elections to Democrats, and we got to look ourselves in the mirror and Donald Trump no longer wins elections. Time to move on. I don't like liberal prosecutors. We got to let the system work because there's a lot of questions, and I think we need to put it all behind us, bring conservative government, defeat Joe Biden.
And, of course, privately, most Democrats believe that Donald Trump would be the easiest person to run against. Joe Biden this week asked about this, said no comment. Mm-hmm. Him trying to stay away from it. Even a lot of the Democrats kind of trying to stay away from this. How does this impact Biden?
Well, it's a great question. Some cynical Democrats, when you say, hey, politically, you're giving Trump a softball, this weaker one going first. They're like, yes, you know, because... I think they overestimate the, quote, backfire, which will be short term. The primary race really doesn't start till the end of this year in Iowa and New Hampshire. But all that aside, they're rooting for it because they're like, we're going to get the crazy Republicans to nominate the one guy we know Biden can beat. Because there are privately a lot of worries, fair or unfair, about Joe Biden's performance in a general election because he's, you know, his Secret Service code name is going to be Jurassic Joe. You know, he's, now look, I'll give him credit for a lot of his accomplishments. He's actually been quite successful. Yeah. But in politics, perception is reality. I think that is a dangerous game, though, for Democrats, because the number one purpose of our politics ought to be to keep this monster out of the White House. So the idea you're going to too clever by half get him the nomination, then he's one click closer.
Right. And you know, anything can happen in a 50-50, there's only two people up for it sort of thing.
He needs to be beat early and often.
And your point about Jurassic Joe is that Joe Biden looks a whole lot older running against Ron DeSantis than he does running against Donald Trump, who's only a few years younger than him.
In Republican focus groups, you'll hear it. Now, wait a minute. I love him. I love how he fights. But he's crazy. You know, they all look around. We're all Republicans here. We can talk, right?
Yeah.
He's crazy.
Talking about Trump now.
Yeah, yeah. And he's going to lose. And he's old. And if Biden's too old, why are we going with our old guy? You know, Trump's in real trouble. I don't think he's going to be the nominee. But he's going to get a little sugar high off this in the short term. But then we got more of these coming. The Georgia one, it's him leaning on a Republican elected conservative to fix the election. Yeah. Brad Raffensperger, to his great credit, said no.
The problem in our country right now, authoritarian leaders who are so
hell-bent on... Governor Gavin Newsom announced his campaign for democracy this week. He's traveling to Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, and Florida to start things off. He's raising money for these efforts as well. We're back with Republican strategist Mike Murphy, who once helped run Arnold Schwarzenegger's campaign for California governor. So the governor insists he has no interest, sub-zero interest, in ever running for president under any category. If you ask him about it, how many languages does he need to say? And yet he's going on a cross-country trip to all of these other states while California governor. What's that about?
New Hampshire. He's never heard of it. Yeah. Where's that?
Yeah.
Well, I saw the ad, and I thought the only thing missing was a cape. You know, as a Californian, I'll say, I'm glad that there are no problems here to deal with. The regional banking system has never been stronger. There are no layoffs in Northern California. Our economy, tech dependent, not going to take a revenue hit. Yet there's time to not run for president by running for president. You know, it's all a little Orwellian. And frankly, it's not subtle. I can tell you who noticed this ad. The Biden political team did. They're like, and I can tell you, I don't know for a fact, but I've been in that business. They're looking at it like, what the hell is this guy trying to do? You know, we're teaching Joe how to play ping pong or something flashy, getting ready for the reelect, showing vigor. And we got the youngest, prettiest Democratic governor in the country is up with, I don't know what the number was, like $8 or $10 million and a media tour to not run for president. Not helpful.
Essentially, it's the Biden backup plan. In case anything happens, I'm already out there. I've already got money. Right. I've already visited your state. Here I am. And everybody
and
sees
the ads,
it that way.
Attention, Democratic primary voters. I agree with you. They're bad. You know who I can't stand? Boy, that Hannity ticks me. I mean, it's pandering. when he sends Joe Biden a pair of roller skates and no helmet for Christmas, we're no Operation President is really going forward. My guess is they'll get barked at a little and ridiculed because they're leading with their chin on this. He's got assets. He could be a credible Democratic presidential candidate. There's no need to kind of force feed the Democratic primary voters this stuff with such bad timing.
In fairness to him, he does put in the ad images of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and talks about the importance of supporting both of them, but not a lot of people are focusing on that. Okay, the biggest race in California next year likely is the U.S. Senate race. Yeah. So far, we've got Adam Schiff versus Katie Porter versus Barbara Lee. We don't know if a Republican's going to jump in. We don't know if another big-name person is going to jump in. We just heard Ro Khanna say that he thinks Adam Schiff is the favorite while endorsing Barbara Lee. Who do you think is the favorite in this race?
Well, I think a slight lead to Schiff, but it is wide open and primaries move late. I would look at it like this. California media market. Bunch of Democratic primary votes, and we'll talk about Repubs in a minute. Porter and Schiff are strong here. I've seen some private polling where Schiff's a little ahead, but it's early. So Northern California is going to be the jump ball. And I heard Representative Kahana's argument about Barbara Lee. I don't think she's going to have the dollars, the organization, to really do it. The thing that I think is not being paid enough attention to about Northern California is Nancy Pelosi is all in for Schiff.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to put her on television. She's going to vet him. I'm not a big believer in endorsements, but in a Democratic primary up there, Pelosi, I'm much more interested in who she's, her muscle, than I would be in Barbara Lee or, frankly, Ro Khanna or any other kind of tier B member of Congress. Katie Porter has what we say in show, she has an act. Angry populist. I mean, it's fun to watch right now. She's out there saying, Silicon Valley Bank, if only they listened to me, and if only they'd listened to Elizabeth Warren, my partner. They dropped a bill this week. That's good for her, that attention. On the other hand, Trump has an ad out, and Schiff is in it. Trump wants to fight a big battle with Schiff. Very good for Adam Schiff. So in the end, I think it'll be populist Katie, you know, throwing firebombs, and Schiff will try to be the senator, the thoughtful national leader. Last question is Republican. If some Repub can crawl into second place, and then the general's over. But if both Democrats get in general, the Republicans and suburban independents become the swing vote.
Yeah.
So you got to watch your right flank a little, too.
And who do you hate more, right? Adam Schiff, who's pencil neck, who Donald Trump hates the most, and Katie Porter, who's like mini Elizabeth Warren.
Right. No,
Not exactly a great choice.
Sales and
if you're
Republican precincts will be through the moon.
Porter there.
But watch the, remember, Trump's only got half the party at most now. He is decayed. Watch the suburban Republicans here and the coastal Republicans who don't like Trump so much. Yeah. They might hate her more in the end, but that's going to take some campaign.
What does this trip actually do for the people back at home?
It's about bringing money back home. I mean, at the end of the day,
this week, the Sacramento Press Club honored our interview with Governor Newsom in D.C. as the California TV Interview of the Year. Special thanks to Press Club President Alexi Kossoff and the entire board for a wonderful event in Sacramento this week. And, of course, gratitude to our Issue Is team who do such great work every week. We are back with Mike Murphy of the USC Center for the Political Future. Maybe, Mike, this will be the interview of the year next year. Who knows?
I doubt it. And
so we do something kind of fun on this show called the name game.
All right.
So we're going to put up the names of some of your most famous clients.
Okay.
And then the first word that comes to mind when you hear their name. All right. You ready for that?
Yep. Fire away.
So let's start with Senator John McCain.
Fun.
Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Underrated.
Senator Mitt Romney.
Elliot Ness.
Senator Lamar Alexander.
I love the guy. I'm trying to think of a statesman.
Former Governor Jeb Bush.
Brainiac with a huge heart.
Your colleague at the USC Center for the Political Future, Bob Schrum.
Heroin dealer. No. I'm going to see Bob tonight. Patriot, old pro.
Okay. And finally, your partner on Hacks on Tap, David Axelrod.
Oh, King Chicago and a wonderful human.
Okay.
Sweetheart.
We play a game called Personal Issues. This is 30 seconds of your favorites. This is also the first thing that comes to mind. We'll have a little fun here. So here we go. What is your favorite TV show of all time?
Oh, boy. Ty, The Wire and The Larry Sanders Show.
Great choices. Favorite comedian of all time?
Oh, man. You know, I've written jokes for Carlin, Robert Klein, and Albert Brooks.
Favorite sports team?
Detroit Tigers.
Favorite athlete?
Wow. Tim Hardaway of the Miami Heat, just because I got to work with him, I was very impressed what a human he is.
Okay. Who's your favorite Democrat?
David Axelrod.
Okay. What is, who is your role model?
In the political racket?
And whatever, however you want to take that.
I've always had a soft spot for David Garth, who in my business was an innovator. I've always admired as a statesman David Lloyd George and, of course, Churchill.
Very cool. That's it for this week. Adam Schiff is going to be in that seat next week. Katie Porter is going to be in that seat in 2 weeks. So it'll be interesting to hear from both of them.
Switch
in the meantime,
dinks and lock them here together.
Yeah,
I'm talking ratings.
We need you as a producer on this show. All right, thanks to Mike Murphy and to Ro Khanna and to you for listening to the Issue Is podcast. As you just heard there, we will have Adam Schiff next week and Katie Porter the week after that. We hope you'll tune in for those in-depth conversations. In the meantime, I'm Alex Michelson. Thanks for listening. See you next time.